Hello and welcome to this week's Storage Media Group podcast. It's a special edition. We're talking all about EMC World 2012. Dave Raffo, our senior news editor, is fresh off the plane from Las Vegas. Dave, welcome back.
Great to be back.
How was the show?
Show was crowded, a little more hypey than actual technology, but no, they had a good turnout and discussed a lot of their products.
Okay, well, you managed to dig up some news anyway, and one is about the model that they're putting forth for both their flash SSD and their cloud projects. They're talking about, well, hybrid models mostly, and about the strategy for flash and cloud storage actually being pretty similar. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Well, similar in a sense where I think, you know, what they're saying is in neither case is there a one-size-fits-all. They want to have as many options as possible. On the flash side, it's, you know, flash as solid-state drives in with your traditional hard drive arrays. It's a flash, all-flash storage systems. It's flash on the server, flash on direct storage with PCIe cards. So, you know, all kinds of flash. But what they are saying is what they think is the best approach or the most popular approach will be hybrid, which is some solid state and some hard drive in the same system. A little bit of solid state, as one of their executives said, a little solid state goes a long way. So, you know, small amounts of solid state drives and mostly spinning disk in the same array, which is the way they've been selling it primarily for a couple of years now.
Okay, so no big change there. I know I saw you quote Tucci saying the majority of storage will be a hybrid array, partially flash and then partially hard drive. That seemed to sum it up.
With the flash more on the small side, maybe less than 20% flash and the rest hard drive.
Okay, so any details come out about Project Thunder or the Extreme I.O. acquisitions?
A little bit. What they did say about Extreme I.O. on their own was expected to start shipping product sometime this summer. Now EMC say that they will not have that system out, and I don't think it'll be called Extreme I.O. They're calling it Project X, but they're saying that system will not ship until next year. You know, basically the deal is, you know, a startup like Extreme I.O. could put out a system without everything it needs and, you know, as time goes on, add features later because, you know, they won't have a whole lot out in the field early. And we've seen other startups do that even with flash arrays. But, you know, EMC feels they cannot put out an array that's not really completely baked. So they're holding it off. They're putting it into what they call pre-beta, which means some customers are using it, but they want to make sure that it has all the features they need before general release. Now, they did briefly show it at a keynote in which they looked at future technologies. They had someone to come out and do a demo and, you know, talk about how great it is. But, you know, you can't really tell a lot from looking at it. You know, it looks like any other array, but instead of hard drives, there's flash in there. So, I mean, they're promising the moon as far as the IOPS and, you know, how easy it is and how cheap it is, but no real product details yet.
All right, we'll keep an eye, try to keep in touch with the pre-beta customers. Speaking of acquisitions, they also picked up a cloud file share company, Syncplicity. And when Fran Sales, one of our contributors here, takes you around this week's top headlines, she'll fill you in on that. Dave, I want to, before I let you go, the data domain data dedupe disk backup box, that got a lot of attention at EMC World. They released a new product and sort of made the other two extinct. Is that right?
Yeah, what they did was release a bigger, faster data domain disk backup system, which, you know, every year or so, year to 18 months, they, you know, they upgrade the product line, which they did. But in this case, they took a few products off the market. I mean, not just the target that it's replacing, but they took off the global dedupe array, the GDA product that they brought out a couple years ago, which deduped across more than one node or controller, and the data domain archiving software, which was basically, you know, what they were saying at the time was an alternative to using tape for archiving. Now, they say it's the GDA was removed because the new data domain 990 is faster and has more capacity than the two nodes combined that they were selling with the GDA. But they still don't really have global dedupe that would allow people to use some of their smaller arrays and dedupe across more than one of those systems. If you want to upgrade from a smaller data domain now, you have to get a bigger system and migrate everything. You can't just add a system and dedupe across both of them. The archiving, they added some archiving retention features. You know, basically they built in some of the stuff that was in the DDA archiving system into their, what they're calling it is extended retention software. So it's almost like a renaming, but, you know, this product is available, the extension retention on the two higher end data domain systems. You know, basically what they call archiving is a little bit different than what most people say is archiving is. What they're doing really is archiving backup. They're not just archiving data that's, you know, moving off primary data because it's not frequently accessed. So they haven't really changed their strategy there. They just basically changed the product. But, you know, it seems a little strange that they didn't mention either of these when they made their launch, because they do have customers out there using them now. So they might want to know that those products are no longer around.
Right. Well, they can read all about it on your story and search data backup. Dave, you provided some terrific coverage there. We're going to keep up with that on the Storage Soup blog entry you had today. And we have a special events page we hope everybody checks out. And we'll talk with you next week.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you then.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
All right. Take care.
I'm Ellen O'Brien, and I'm here with Fran Sales and John Hilliard like I am each week, and I'm going to toss it off to Fran to take you through this week's top headlines. Fran, you've got some more EMC news, right?
I do. I've got three headlines. First up, Rich Castagna covered the new V-Block architecture inside and out. Lots of detail came out of EMC World. We know it combines the EMC VMAX 10K storage array with Cisco servers and switches, but Rich got some great detail and video on how it all comes together. It's worth noting that Michael Capellas, he's chairman of the company behind VBlock, says VBlock should hit, get this, $3 billion in revenues next year. Read all about it on searchvirtualstorage.com. And lots of cloud talk at EMC World, of course. EMC recently picked up a small cloud file sharing company called Syncplicity, and our reporters tracked down customers for their reaction. For the most part, they're happy about the purchase. They are hoping EMC throws some weight behind the product. Check out that story on searchcloudstorage.com. And finally, one of Hitachi's chief scientists emailed Dave Raffo this week. He wanted to protest some of EMC's claims about how great their new federated technology is. Basically, EMC says the new federated tiered storage for VMAX is better than Hitachi's, and you can see where this is going. Hitachi says EMC is full of hot air. Read more about that on the searchstorage.com blog. Okay, now it's time for John Hilliard to wrap up his favorite blog picks for this week. John, what do you have for us?
Well, Fran, starting off with Computer Weekly's scoop this week that a massive deal has been struck between EMC Corp and Facebook that will provide 28 petabytes of storage for the data-gorging social media network that boasts 900 users worldwide. Computer Weekly said that a source wouldn't divulge the amount of the contract, but this deal would mean that EMC would have a stake in the success of possibly the world's most famous website, one that perhaps dubiously was valued at about $100 billion as of last week. And speaking of EMC, EMC World 2012 wasn't just about the company showing off its newest, shiniest hardware. This company was putting a lot of effort into developing a social media strategy for this year's conference. So how did EMC tackle the social mediaverse? Well, aside from cracks about the conference's Ethernet-cabled coiffed figurehead from their CEO, the company's chief listener, Keith Paul, laid out some of their plans in a recent blog post. First off, they had a public media command center, which allowed EMC to coordinate interaction with guests and display special social media content during the conference. Bloggers were part of a social media strategy, and the company scheduled time and access for bloggers to pose questions and get access to information. And they also brought back the conference's blogger lounge, which sounds like an amazing thing to do for people who spend all day on their feet writing on laptops. There were also webcasts. EMC plugged these as Buzz Talks, downloadable conference apps, and various games like scavenger hunts and Instagram contests, all of which were clearly designed to bolster the use of the EMC World hashtag and the company's Twitter handle for the conference. So far, the EMC World Twitter handle has more than 5,300 followers. Sadly, it's still the profile pic of the CEO's creepy Ethernet-haired guy.
I thought it was an interesting logo, but maybe that's just me.
It's certainly unique.
It is. Thanks, John, for wrapping that up. And that finishes up this week's coverage of EMC World 2012. For more headlines, make sure to check out our site, searchstorage.com.